Romans chapter 13. You've heard the joke, what does it mean when a preacher looks at his watch? Nothing. What does it mean when the preacher doesn't have a watch? Even less, I guess. I don't know. But as you find Romans 13, think about this. What is the most precious of all commodities? What is the most precious of all commodities? And a second question, are you wise and God-honoring in how you spend yours? This couple had worked to develop their farming and ranching business to the point that they were able to hire a full-time caretaker, foreman, whatever the right term, title would be. And so as they began interviewing, one of the questions that they would ask every prospective candidate was, how well do you take care of things? Well, one of the young men answered, I can sleep at night. I am able to sleep at night. They didn't really understand what that meant, but they liked him, so they hired him. After a few months, the couple went away for a few days, only to return to a big thunderstorm going on in their area. It was late at night. When they got home, they were concerned as to what they would find. When they got out of their car, the woman went immediately to check on the house while the husband went to the barn. Well, the woman found everything where it should be. The pets were taken care of. The windows were closed. Everything was just right. When the man went to the barn, the equipment was where it needed to be, and all the animals, the horses, the cows, everything were in their stalls. They realized what the young man meant. That when something happens, everything had already been taken care of. He was able to sleep at night. Let me ask you, are you able to sleep at night when a storm blows? Do you take care of your responsibilities well enough that when the unexpected happens, you do not panic? Do you give the time, attention, and energy necessary to glorify Christ to the people you're responsible for? Are you able to sleep? Romans chapter 13, let's start in verse 8. Paul said, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Do this, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone, and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day. Not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. Be able to sleep by placing the welfare of others over your own. Put taking care of others ahead of taking care of yourself. For 11 chapters, Paul gives us a theological perspective on the law. And in chapter 12, he begins the application of the theology. We are to present ourselves as a living sacrifice before God, not being conformed to the world, but transformed as our minds are being renewed. As our minds, as a man thinketh, so he is. As our minds are being renewed. For 11 chapters, Paul has talked about how we, instead of trying to keep the law, we need to run to Christ. And now he's saying, this is how you live it out. This is how you live it out, as your mind is being renewed. And so this renewal would allow for understanding God's will. And then chapter 13 starts and begins dealing with very practical ways that you are to follow God's will as you live in society at large, with the law as the continuing standard or norm for behavior. It's not that we forget the law. It's that we see the law in the right perspective. That no matter how good you think you are, you're not really good enough. And so Paul says, here's how we're to live. And the first way he says is by placing the welfare of others over your own. Verse 8 begins this very practical application closer to home. Because of the love, because of the acceptance you have received through Christ, seek the best for all who you come into contact with. Seek the best. Love them. You know, we use this word in the English language in a very wishy-washy kind of way. Because I can say I love my wife and I love cookies and cream ice cream and use the same word, love. But let me tell you, one love is different than the other. Paul, what the word Paul is using here is to seek the best for them, want the best for them. If you know anything about the Greek language, I'm sure you've heard this word. It's the word agape. It is the purest form of love. Seek the best for the other person. And he said, in doing that, if you'll seek the best for the other person, then you will exhaustively fulfill the law. You'll do everything that Christ said do. You'll do everything that the law says do. Seek the best for others. As God's love changes you, it will serve to motivate you to love others. And then he cites four commandments that prohibit behavior. Do not covet, do not steal, do not, do not, do not. And then he says, if there's anything else that needs to be said, he said the second greatest commandment that Jesus gave us is love your neighbor as yourself. Do no wrong to anyone. Do no wrong to anyone. Seek the welfare of others over your own. James Dobson said this, it's not the quantity of, but the quality of time you spend with your children that counts. Or is it? There is the argument that no matter how little time you spend with your children, as long as your few moments together are meaningful. But why is it that we think that we have to choose quantity over quality? We might not accept that choice in other areas of our life. Why is it relevant to our children? He said, let's suppose you order the most expensive steak at a restaurant. When the meal arrives, you see a tiny piece of meat in the middle of the plate. Let me just give you a little guess. The waiter says, I recognize that the portion is small, but that's the finest beef money can buy. As to the portion, it's not the quantity that matters, it's the quality that counts. And let me tell you, I'm not going to that restaurant. And you would not go either. You would object. Both quality and quantity are important in many areas of life, including how we raise and relate to our children. Dr. Dobson says, my concern is that the quantity versus quality argument might be a poorly disguised rationalization for our children, for giving our children neither. So what are you giving your children? What are you giving your grandchildren? Using the analogy of a meal further, are you giving them a full plate or just a little bit? Or even worse, are you giving them a finely cooked, freshly cooked meal, or are you giving them leftovers that should have been thrown out 3 days ago? What are you giving your spouse, your friends, your neighbors? What are you giving the people around you? See, when Paul is dealing and he says, owe nothing to anyone but to love them, And using that the commandment that Jesus gave, that love your neighbor as yourself, he didn't say you get to pick and choose. He says love your neighbor. Love whoever you come into contact with as yourself. So what are you giving friends and neighbor? What are you giving other people around you? Are you giving them your time? Are you seeking the best for others? Is the love you might say you have for others really love in action? Or is it mere sentiment? Love your neighbor as yourself. Is that just for people who are close to you? Those who are like you? Or is it for everyone? Is it for everyone? Even folks that you don't necessarily like. Your love. Are you able to sleep at night? Be able to sleep by becoming proactive in loving others. Be deliberate. Be deliberate in seeking the welfare of others. The world lives as if time will go on forever. But let me tell you, it will not. It will not. God has said that He will draw it to a conclusion, and Paul uses that to call us to wake up. To wake up. It may be night, it may be dark, but the eastern sky is beginning to lighten ever so slightly. Day is coming. Wake up, sleepyhead. It's time to go. You have a lot to do today. That's how we used to wake our kids up, particularly on Sunday morning. Wake up, you sleepyheads. Get up, get out of bed. You have a lot to do today. Do you have a lot to do today? There's somebody that you're going to come into contact with that needs a smile. There's somebody that you're going to come into contact with today that needs a kind, gentle word. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Seek the best for those around you. Not just necessarily what they want. Do what is best for others. Now, I'm old enough to remember the oil filter company that used to have the commercial with the mechanic. As he was wiping his hands on the rag, he would look into the camera and say, "You can pay me now, or you can pay me later." And what he meant was, is if you will pay me to do the preventive maintenance, you won't have the huge bill of me rebuilding the thing. And somewhere this morning, I was thinking about my grandmother. My grandmother was a tenant farmer. And my dad and my uncle would go every year about this time of year and try to resurrect her old combine. That combine should have been gone to the factory, to the meltdown place, long before I was born. But every year they would go and try to resurrect it. Well, one year when I was about 9 or 10, I decided that I would grease that thing. And boy, did I ever. I got nearly as much grease in the combine as I did on me, is what I remember. But we did preventive maintenance. You need to do preventive maintenance in loving others. Spend a little time up front by proactively loving your family, by proactively loving your friends, those you work with, those that you play golf with, or those you associate with. And if you do, you will likely not have a crisis requiring more from you later. Be proactive in your love. In your marriage, make to seek your partner feel like a success in every part of their life. In raising kids, now is the time to show them what is truly important. Now is the time to show others what it means to obey Jesus. So be proactive. Take the initiative. Are you able to sleep at night? Be able to sleep by making your heart's renewal apparent to all. He starts that in the end of verse 12. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Now is the time for you to live like a Christian. Now is the time to seek to glorify Christ and Christ alone. He says, lay aside the deeds of darkness. He uses the analogy or the word picture of something that we would put on like we put on our clothes this morning. He said, lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the garments of light. Examine your heart, renew your mind, examine your attitudes, and listen for God's still small voice about your heart. When's the last time, if you've ever done it? When's the last time you said, Lord, search my heart? Search my heart and show me if there be any wicked way within me. Live by making your heart's renewal apparent to all. Live a lifestyle of repentance. I don't know that any of y'all walked here this morning. Did anybody walk to church this morning? Well, I guess even if you walked, you corrected your course at some point, did you not? We live only about 2 miles, and I don't know how many times I had to correct my course for that car in 2 miles. Countless. Same's true with your life, if you would be honest. That we need to live a lifestyle of repentance, of saying, Lord, I'm getting a little bit more excited about what's going on around me than I really need to be. Lord, I just used a word. I just used a tone. Anybody got a tone of voice? Yeah, boy, some of you are lying by not raising your hands. Live a lifestyle of repentance. Ask the Lord to search your heart. He then lists some things. The Romans knew that there were certain behavior was done at night. It was almost expected. Carousing and drunkenness, promiscuity and sensuality, strife and jealousy. And he says, if you claim to be a believer, if you claim to know Christ, it is daytime. It is day. It is the day of the Lord. So choose to put on the armor of light. Choose to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh and its lust. Every month's income is broken up into two classes of spending, discretionary and non-discretionary. Some we get to decide how we spend it. It is at our discretion. Some we don't. Some may have started out as discretionary, but a decision changed it to non-discretionary. Do you want that? Can we afford that? Once money is borrowed, the amount of repayment owed each month is no longer discretionary. We borrowed, we obligated ourselves, we must pay. Well, a true follower of Christ knows they are obligated now to love others. Make the work of Christ, what he has done in your heart, apparent to all. Your behavior is apparent to all. Does your behavior show the change Jesus brought about in your life? Do you ever try to rationalize anything about your choices, about your behavior? You know the old expression, well, everybody's doing it. We still like to say that. As if the number of people guilty of something would make it acceptable to the Lord. Why do we say that? We are to make the work of Christ has done in our heart apparent to all. What did you do this week? What did you do this week to act like, think like, become like Christ? Be proactive. What is the most precious commodity of all? It is time. Time. We are to give away our time. And is this not the battleground of what is most important to you? Does the way you spend your time show that you're most concerned about glorifying Christ? Or does it go back to what I asked last week? Are you more concerned about enjoying yourself? Are we glorifying Christ? Are you glorifying Christ? Are you wise and God-honoring in how you spend your time? Do you place the welfare of others over your own? Who do you take care of first? Are you proactive in loving others? Are you deliberately seeking their welfare? Is the renewal of your heart easily seen? Are you living as a Christ-following, Christ-honoring Christian today? Are you able to sleep at night? Let me tell you, my prayer is that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, will not let you sleep tonight if there's anything in your heart that He needs you to deal with Him about.